Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, Football Friday, everybody. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55. With the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes, see rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. 20 minutes from now, Gary Myers will give us a thought on each and every game from this upcoming weekend in the National Football League. We'll also get his thoughts on some of the either unofficial or official head coaching hires around the National Football League. We'll also be joined at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific from a legendary Cleveland Brown in Josh Cribbs, electric return man. He'll stop by, multiple-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 2009. He'll have a thought or two on the Cleveland Browns-Chiefs game. And I also want to ask him about his thoughts on the whole Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster aftermath. Because to me, that's what happens when you're a younger player in the league. I think Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster in a few years from now, when they get a little bit older and they mature a little bit, they're going to look back and Juju Smith-Schuster is going to probably say, yeah, I shouldn't have said the Browns is the Browns. I shouldn't have talked smack going into a playoff game. And then for Chase Claypool, yes, his heart was in the right place in defending his teammate Juju Smith-Schuster after the game, but to call the Browns classless doesn't make sense because Juju Smith-Schuster was classless. It was the Browns responding and just taunting Juju after the game, and they weren't malicious with it. They were just saying, hey, the Browns is the Browns. Juju's words, not ours, but yeah, the Browns is the Browns. And for Chase Claypool to also sell it off as, oh, well, yeah, we lost, but the Chiefs are going to take care of the Browns next week, so it won't matter. Does that make you feel better? If anything, that's kind of a weak way. And that's a weak way of looking at it. I said this yesterday. We are talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, an iconic franchise, a gold standard franchise in the National Football League. And what are they usually synonymous with? Championships, Super Bowls, Lombardi trophies. And now you have a player basically accepting getting blown out by Cleveland, an organization that hadn't had a playoff victory since 1995, and not only okay with it, Chase Claypool is basically imploring the Kansas City Chiefs to finish the job that he couldn't end up coming through with. That's kind of pathetic to me. We're not talking about some terrible organization. We're not talking about some irrelevant organization that has not been there before. We're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as I've seen in two Steelers postseason runs as of late, they did a lot of talking before the Jacksonville Jaguars game. They overlooked the Jaguars, who beat them up earlier in the year. They were already thinking they were going to put the Patriots in that AFC title game in what would have been that Super Bowl 52 season where the Eagles ended up winning. What did the Steelers do? They overlooked the Jaguars in that game. What did the Steelers do this year? The same damn thing. Yeah, there's different players. Yeah, there's new names. But they did the same damn thing. So we'll get Josh Cribbs' thoughts on not only Browns Chiefs, but also Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, the Gus Bus. Gus Frerotte will stop by, and we'll have NFL picks with him. All right, without further ado, we do this segment every Monday and Friday right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We call it Onsides or Offsides. We have five burning questions in the world of sports. Which side of the fence am I going to be on? Will it be onsides? Will it be offsides? Well, we got five questions. Could be a mixture of both. We'll find out right now.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
No pressure, Trace. It's a football Friday. We're getting ready for divisional round weekend. This is a big football Friday. This is a big edition of Onsides, Offsides. No pressure. Let's see if you perform in the clutch.
No pressure, because in my mind, every single Onsides, Offsides, every Monday, Friday is the biggest one.
Every Monday, Friday is the Super Bowl.
That's it.
Perfect. So you don't overlook the competition.
Never.
You don't look maybe to the next week and get ahead of yourself like a Juju Smith-Schuster and a Chase Claypool.
I would never do that. I'm always focused in the moment.
That's why you're my guy. That's why you're my producer.
Every segment's a Super Bowl.
We are in the moment.
That's
we
right.
are in the segment. Not day by day. Not week by week. Not month by month. Second by second on the Zach Gelb Show.
You know it. I follow your lead, and that is why we are always focused. No segments off.
All right. Now this is getting too much of a love fest. Go ahead. Let's go.
So, going back to Monday, as you mentioned earlier, Nick Saban won another national championship as the Crimson Tide crushed Ohio State 52-24. The title was the seventh of Saban's illustrious career and sixth while at Alabama. The future Hall of Fame coach now has the most national championships of any coach in college football history, and he doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. Saban is currently 69 years old and hasn't indicated that he will retire anytime soon. So Onsides or Offsides, if the over-under set at 2.5 more championships won, Onsides or Offsides, you will take the over.
I actually read an article today, and I don't know what the validity of the article is. I'm not familiar with the writer. But I read an article today, which goes back to the Brian Jones's point from earlier in the week. Remember Brian Jones on with DA, and he said he had someone tell him before the game that if he won that championship, there was a chance he would walk away. I read another article that put some more context. They weren't necessarily talking about Brian's report, but they were also hearing that there may have been an agreement with Steve Sarkisian to take over at Alabama. They did not say if it was going to be in the now or in a few years. You know, maybe it's one of those things, coach and waiting, and then it'll take over and they'll have a timeline, as we've seen before at some universities. And then Sark bolted from Bama to go take the next head football coaching job at Texas Hook'em. I don't blame him. That's a tremendous job for Steve Sarkisian. So maybe Saban is thinking about retirement, and it's all uncertain, a little bit sooner than what we think. Now, I said the other day, I think he's coaching like 8 more years. That was the number I just threw out there. So that would put him at about 77 years old. He's currently 69. So let's just say if I get 6 more seasons of Saban, and you're asking me, he'll win at least 2 more titles. So he's got to win 3. I'm not a math major, but at least means, or does that mean 2, or does that just mean 3?
Over under is set at 2.5.
2.5.
He will win more than 2, essentially 3 more titles.
Because at least could be 2 or more. So you're saying now it's 2.5 is what you're going at.
2.5 is the over-under for more. How many titles he will win before he retires.
I'm going to go on sides. For some reason, I'm going to still say that Saban, if you ask me right now, do I think he's going to coach closer to 75 or 80 in terms of age? He's 69 right now. I'm going to say it's going to be closer to 80. I think he will be closer to 80 than he will be 75 when he walks away. So if you're basically giving me another decade of Nick Saban, and yes, I know I threw up the number 77, so let's bump up that number to 78. Because then 78 is 2 years away from 80. 77, it's only 2 years from 75. But you get my point anyway. If I get Saban for, let's say, 8 or 10 more years, let's even go just 7 years. Can he win 3 national championships in 7 years? I think so. So I'll go Onsides. Here's the point I'm making. I believe Saban will coach at least 5 more years. Even if on that low end, at least 5 more years, it's going to be close. But we all know college football runs through what teams? Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. I'll still trust Nick Saban with his 5-star recruits all over the place. So give me an obloviating answer there. I could have just said this very simply, go this route. Yeah, Saban will win at least more than 2.5 titles. So he'll get 3 more championships. And that will then put him, and I'm not great at math, 7 + 3 = 10. 6 + 3 = 9. So 9 at Alabama, and then 10 total. Yeah, that's a lot of titles. But you know what? I said onside, so I'm going with it.
All righty.
You don't think, just by your reaction, you don't think Saban will be coaching at 75?
I hope not. I mean, a decade, I think I'll pass out as a college football fan. That is...
Why? He's not slowing down. As long as his health is there, why would you walk away?
I know.
He still loves it. He's addicted to it. Everyone has a drug of choice. His drug of choice is what? Coaching football.
With his intensity, I just question if he can do it. Like...
It's fair.
Like, I mean... Maybe he'll just go crazy not doing anything. I don't know. But hearing a decade, I'm like, wow, that's
what does he do,
shocking.
Well, he surrounds himself with a great staff, too. So, like, for example, he brings in Bill O'Brien. Why are you bringing in Bill O'Brien? Because Bill O'Brien knows how to coach. Bill O'Brien wasn't a bad coach. He was just an awful general manager. And how many times has he done that? Lane Kiffin, Sarkisian. Look at some other guys that ended up getting jobs. Brian Daboll, perfect example. Kirby Smart was once on his staff. You go on and on and on. There's a bunch of names. He surrounds himself with really damn good coaches. I know he hasn't had great success at Tennessee, but Jeremy Pruitt was also a Saban guy. All right, next one. Let's go.
So last night, Zach, the New York Jets became the second team to find their next head coach as they hired former 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. Now, Saleh has a history of turnarounds as he inherited a San Francisco defense that was dead last in total defense back in 2016 and transformed them into a top 10 defense the past 2 years. Saleh will also take 49ers passing game coordinator Mike LaFleur with him to be the Jets offensive coordinator. So onsides or offsides, Robert Saleh will win a playoff game during his tenure with the Jets.
The last Jets playoff win came in that 2010 regular season year, where they lost in the AFC Championship game. They beat the Pats in the divisional round and lost to the Steelers. Back-to-back AFC Championship losses for the Jets, Jets. Colts with Peyton Manning, and then the next year, Big Ben with the Steelers. After that, the Jets have not been to the playoffs. They've been 8-8, 6-10, 8-8, 4-12, 10-6, missed out on the postseason. 5-11, 5-11, 4-12, 7-9, 2-14. What is New York? What am I as a New Yorker? Impatient. So right now, you can't find people that could say a bad word about Joe Douglas. You can't find anyone that could say a bad word about Robert Saleh. It looks like they have the right people. There's still a lot of work to do. And the Jets roster is nowhere near, let alone win a playoff game, just getting to the postseason. So Saleh, by year three, he's going to have a playoff team. And if they don't have a playoff team by year three, Douglas will be gone. Because Douglas already has 2 years on the job, but first full offseason was this year because of the timing he was hired. And then Robert Saleh will be his third year on the job. So going into year four, if you don't feel like you have a real playoff team, you're going to be out of a job in New York. And you're saying he has to get a playoff win. So just getting there doesn't even qualify. I like the Saleh hire, don't get me wrong. I like Joe Douglas. But to say that the Jets are going to win a playoff game without knowing who's their quarterback, without really knowing what they're going to have in offense or defense for the future, for now, I have to go offsides.
Offside!
But the positive is, they're building for the future. They have what is a well-respected GM, and now what is a well-respected head coach, and we'll see if it could work.
So tomorrow night's Bills-Ravens game is one of the most exciting divisional round matchups of the weekend. Both teams are playing some of their best football right now as the two have combined to win 16 out of the last 17 games. Lamar Jackson, after rushing for 136 yards against the Titans last week, looks to try to become the first quarterback in NFL history to rush for 100 yards in back-to-back playoff games. One of the biggest strengths of Buffalo's defense is their ability to keep the quarterback in the pocket, as they haven't allowed a quarterback to rush for over 61 yards the past two seasons. So onsides or offsides, the Ravens will upset the Bills.
Just looked at the weather report. There was some snow rumored throughout the week. 8 p.m. Saturday night. 34 cloudy, only a 15% chance of precipitation. So not expected to snow in Buffalo now on Saturday night. I'm going to go on sides here. I've been going back and forth all week. I'm taking the Ravens because of their run game, and I think their defense is better than Buffalo. Allen will make a mistake in this game. I still think he'll have a good game, but the number to watch, 2.5 total touchdowns. If you keep Allen under 2.5 total touchdowns, I think you win this game. So I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be sloppy. I'm going to go with the Ravens because of their ability to run the football. Onsides, give me the Ravens going to the AFC Championship game.
History will be made Sunday night as the Saints-Buccaneers game will feature the first playoff matchup with quarterbacks over the age of 40. The Saints have done a great job in harassing Tom Brady this season, combining the sack of 43-year-old six times while forcing five interceptions and holding Tampa Bay's offense just 26 total points in the first two matchups. Now, on the flip side, New Orleans' offense is averaging 33.7 points per game in the four games since Drew Brees returned from fractured ribs. So on sides or off sides, the Buccaneers will advance to the NFC Championship game.
Another tough game to pick, another game that's going to be close. I say Brady gets enough protection from his offensive line to get the W, and the Bucs defense, which has been hot and cold, will find a way to get at least an interception or a fumble up against Drew Brees. Give me the Bucs in a tight one up against the Saints on sides.
And finally, Zach, the drama in Houston took another turn today. Earlier, Texans CEO Cam McNair acknowledged that him and franchise quarterback Deshaun Watson have been texting.
See, that's a problem. Texting! Cal McNair! Get him on the phone! What, Watson, saw your message and just said, yeah, okay. Or gave me, like, a roll your eyes emoji or something like that. Texting's very vague. Get him on the phone. Interpersonal communication. Which is now kind of just viewed as texting, but you get my point.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, you're right. And McNair even apologized for the lack of communication during the general manager search. Now, he vowed that he would keep Watson in the loop during the head coaching search. But just hours ago, the franchise quarterback tweeted, quote, "I was on 2, then I took it to a 10. Now, earlier this week, Adam Schefter reported that Watson's anger level was at a 2 after the DeAndre Hopkins' trade, before escalating to a 10 after the Texans' process of hiring Nick Caserio as their general manager. So on sides or off sides, Deshaun Watson will be on a different team week one of 2021.
Here's the problem with the Texans. Usually quarterbacks or players don't get to pick who the coach or the general manager is. The Texans opened Pandora's box to try to rectify a frustrated quarterback who already had every right to be frustrated with what the Texans did last offseason. They opened up Pandora's box, they didn't listen to his suggestions, and they didn't hire the general manager, I guess, that he wanted, or they were so late to the party in giving Eric Bieniemy an interview. Now, their job is still open. So maybe they smooth things over by bringing in Bieniemy, and that would be perceived as a very good hire and probably also will calm down Deshaun Watson. However, when I look at this, he's under contract. He just signed the deal through 2025. Can you get out of a contract? Can you force your way out? Sure. Happens all the time in the NBA. We even see it happen sometimes in the NFL. Jamal Adams had some years left on his deal. Jalen Ramsey wasn't a free agent. And they ended up forcing their way out, and both got traded for two first-round picks. Rams, Seahawks. So, Deshaun Watson will be on a different team come week one. He's a franchise quarterback. You don't just trade your franchise quarterback. Yes, this is contentious. Yes, it can escalate to an even further level. Right now, though, the Texans would be damn fools to keep Jack Easterby, which they're going to do, and they said they will. But they'd be damn fools to not figure this thing out. So I don't think Watson will be traded come week one of the 2021 season, but I don't think he'll end his career out with the Houston Texans. Offsides.
Offside.
I'll give you more on that later on in the show, and I'll revisit a take from July where I was at about a 2 warning Deshaun Watson of the Texans, and now I'll be at a 10 later on in the program, basically telling him I was right and how he should try to get his way out of Houston, but I do think he'll be there come week one. Gary Myers coming up next, talking football, Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We'll continue the football conversation right now on the Zach Gelb Show with the great Gary Myers, the longtime NFL scribe, does a tremendous job writing books. It seems like he has a new book out each and every year. Had the best-selling book, Brady versus Manning, and now hosts a podcast called The GOAT, talking about Tom Brady. And Gary Myers is here with us back on the Zach Gelb Show. Gary, appreciate the time as always. And let me start you off with the coaching carousel before we get into the games this weekend. Robert Saleh and Arthur Smith, we know Saleh's going to the Jets, and Smith, it appears, to be heading to Atlanta. How about those two hirings right out of the gate?
I like the Jets hiring a lot, Zach, and observing Robert Saleh on the sidelines, seeing him in press conferences, hearing what his players in San Francisco have said about him over the last couple of years, I think that he fits the outline or the job description the way the Jets wanted a CEO. They just didn't want somebody that was proficient on one side of the ball that would delegate everything to the other side of the ball. They wanted somebody that was going to oversee the entire team, which they have not had. When you think about it, you know, you probably go all the way back to Parcells in the late 90s since they've had somebody that was truly a head coach of the entire team. Everybody else seemed to just specialize on one side of the ball. So I really like what I've seen of this guy. I've never met him, but I've just heard great things about him. And I just judging by the reaction of the Jets fan base and then comparing it to 2 years ago to Adam Gase, I haven't seen the Jets fan base this excited in a really long time.
Yeah, it's the difference of night and day from the Gase hire, that reaction, to where they are with Robert Saleh. For Arthur Smith, how do you think the Falcons will approach this? Smith is an offensive mind coming over from Tennessee. Do you believe that they're going to keep Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, or they try to get younger and really hit the reset button here?
Well, they're picking high enough they can get one of the quarterbacks if they want to have him learn behind Matt Ryan. Arthur Smith, you know, kind of came out of nowhere. He's been in Tennessee forever. But the work that he did with Ryan Tannehill after Tannehill's career really went, you know, the arrow was pointing down after 3 years with Adam Gase. And, you know, that was one of the reasons that I thought Smith would have a real shot at the Jets job because, you know, the blueprint was there. You take a guy that Adam Gase has worked with, and you straighten out his career when people thought his career was not salvageable. And then you bring him to New York. You take a guy whose career really went downhill with 2 years with Adam Gase. And then, you know, if Arthur Smith can straighten out Tannehill, maybe he'd be able to do it with Darnold also. But I think that's an interesting situation in Atlanta because they have some very high-profile, big-money players. And you'd have to say that Atlanta has reached a point just a few years after that Super Bowl atrocity that they probably need to go through a complete rebuild at this point. Start over with a quarterback. They can probably still get a lot for Julio Jones and just build it back up.
Gary Myers here with us. Last year, the surprise hire, the out-of-nowhere hire, was Joe Judge going to the Giants. This year, with the names that we know so far, it appears that Dan Campbell, who's with the Saints mm-hmm. right now and was an interim coach in Miami after Joe Philbin was let go, it looks like he's going to Detroit. What do you know about Dan Campbell?
You know, I've known him for a very long time because he played for the Giants in my years at the Daily News. He was an excellent babysitter for Jeremy Shockey. who was kind of needed somebody to stay on him in his first couple of years with the Giants. And I always really liked him. He was a great locker room guy. Although he wasn't the starter, the players gravitated towards him. And I thought that was really impressive. And I know how much Parcells liked him in Dallas. And he's got Parcells on his resume. He's got Sean Payton on his resume. And he's an impressive guy. It wasn't until a couple of days ago that his name really started to surface as a viable candidate in Detroit. Everybody assumed that Robert Saleh was going to go there because he's from Dearborn, but clearly it didn't work out that way. Saleh wanted to be with the Jets. It wasn't like he got shut out of other jobs. He wanted to be with the Jets, which opened up Detroit. It kind of made it wide open there. And I think Dan Campbell will do a good job. They either need to find a way to keep Matthew Stafford healthy or trade him and pick one of these young quarterbacks because the Lions seem to be the same team every year, don't they? You know, a little sign of early promise, even though they blew the opening game of the season this year. And then they get into that game's 7 through 12, including the Thanksgiving game, where their season always falls apart, Stafford gets hurt, and then they finish 5-11. It just seems that they're in a vicious cycle right now, and maybe the way to get out of it is getting some for Stafford while they can, and again, like Atlanta, starting over.
So it appears, as Gary Myers here with us, that the former Lions, Saints, Cowboy, and Giant, and Dan Campbell's going back to Detroit. Let me hit on the last hire that we know right now, Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville. You've seen transitions before, college coach to the NFL. How does this legendary college coach, you think, fare out in Jacksonville, where he's going to have a nice number one overall pick there in Trevor Lawrence?
Here's an interesting thing. Jimmy Johnson, we always knew at some point, wanted to come to the NFL. Nick Saban had a history in the NFL. He worked, you know, for Belichick before he went to Michigan State and LSU. And so him going to the Dolphins, you know, I was a little surprised, but it wasn't like a shock because he had the NFL in his background. Urban Meyer, I just never heard until this year that he had any desire to coach in the NFL. And I think it's a really hard thing to do. Now, obviously, he's a bright guy. And for his sake, I hope he's been studying up for a lengthy period of time, because getting into the NFL for the first time at this point in his life, where he's had some health issues, I just really wonder about this hire. I mean, I was really caught by surprise when this started developing. And based on his history, I mean, he's mercurial. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So I put the over-under at like 3 years that he stays in Jacksonville. And obviously what made that job really attractive is the opportunity to coach Trevor Lawrence. But by no means do I think it's a given that he's going to be successful there.
Eric Bieniemy is also a very popular name. Did not get a job last year. And then this year there's only three jobs left: Houston, the Chargers, the Eagles. I don't know if Philadelphia would do it after moving on from another Andy Reid assistant, the Chargers. It seems like that may be Daboll, but that's not 100% certain. Now, we know Watson wants Bieniemy. What are you hearing on the Bieniemy front, and do you think he gets shut out here once again?
You know, he's a really interesting situation with him is really interesting, Zach, because on the surface, you would say that you wonder, at least, why isn't this happening for him? He's learned and coached with Andy Reid now for a bunch of years. We're still not exactly sure how often he calls the plays, but, you know, that's a little bit of a negative, but not enough that you'd say, okay, I'm not hiring him. I mean, Joe Judge was a special teams coach, and he got a head coaching job. This guy's been an offensive coordinator of a prolific offense, and Patrick Mahomes loves him. I don't know him to the point that I can say, you know, he's not going to be a good interview, because just watching him on the sidelines and listening to him speak, it seems like he's a forceful personality that would command a room. I don't know if there's anything else that maybe he doesn't interview well, or maybe some stuff that teams have asked him about that he's not good answers to on a consistent basis, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me that a guy who has been, you know, riding shotgun to Andy Reid with a prolific offense and a great quarterback is not like the first one off the board. I'll be really interested after this hiring cycle is over, and if he does not get a job, to hear his comments. Maybe it will be the Super Bowl this year, about what happened. He's got to feel a little better at this point, I would imagine, if he doesn't. There were seven openings this year. If he goes 0-7 after, I don't remember how many there were last year, but enough that you think he would have one of them. So maybe there's just something here we don't know about. I don't know.
Gary Myers here with us. All right, Gary, let's get some predictions of the games this weekend. Who's advancing to the AFC title game? You got Ravens, Bills, you got Browns, Chiefs. Who's playing next weekend in the AFC?
You know, I like the Ravens in the game in Buffalo. They're just, I think they're more of an experienced. Well, I know that they're more of an experienced playoff team. I think Lamar Jackson getting that first playoff victory last week, it kind of removed a little bit of a psychological barrier there that he doesn't have to answer those questions anymore. Buffalo did not play particularly well against the Colts last week. A better coach game by Frank Reich, and the Colts could have beaten them. I don't think it matters. A team like the Ravens, who play tough defense and they can run the ball, matters that they're playing in Buffalo, and you know they'll have 7,000 fans there, which it, you know makes really much of an impact. So I like Buffalo. I mean, I'm sorry, I like one game, and then.
Hey Gary, your phone's cutting out on us a little bit. You got us still?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah, now we got you. So you like the Ravens up against the Bills, and then how about the other game? I'm assuming you're going Kansas City.
I like Kansas City to beat Cleveland actually fairly easily. I don't know what happened to the Steelers last week, but they just never showed up. And you know, credit to the Browns for taking advantage of it. But that's not going to happen in Kansas City. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game by, you know, double digits.
And the last one for you, Gary Myers, NFC title game. Who's going to be playing that next week? I'm assuming you're taking the Packers over the Rams, but how about that Bucs-Saints game?
Yeah, I think the Rams are going to have a very hard time scoring in that game, especially if it's really cold. I've seen that act before when West Coast teams have to play in really cold weather cities in the playoffs. And then the other game... Boy, I think this is going to be a game for the ages with two legendary quarterbacks. I think it's going to be a really high-scoring game. And I actually think that, you know, Brady's just got some magic going there again. And to me, Brees just isn't playing, hasn't really played that well since he came back from the injury. And I like the Bucs in that game and, you know, get Brady one step away from his 10th Super Bowl.
And there you go. The name of the podcast, it's The GOAT, Tom Brady. How do people catch it?
As they say, Zach, wherever you subscribe to your favorite podcast, you can find The GOAT, Tom Brady, on Apple or wherever you get them. And that was a lot of fun to do. I hope people download it, enjoy it. And this is usually the best weekend of games of the whole season because they're always, you know, pretty competitive. And back-to-back games 2 days in a row is a lot of fun.
Gary, appreciate it. You and the family, be well.
You too, Zach. Take care. Thanks. Say hi to your dad.
You got it. We'll do. There's Gary Myers. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, I got a stat for you on Urban Meyer and why the future in Jacksonville may not be a good one if you read into these numbers.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 15 minutes from now, Josh Cribbs, not going to be in the house, but he's probably still taking it to the house. And he'll probably give us like a 102-yard kickoff return performance coming up in about 15 minutes on CBS Sports Radio. As we preview some more, here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof. And the Kansas City, how about those Chiefs? Browns and Chiefs this weekend. If you could pick an upset, Trace, if you could just say, it doesn't have, you don't have to have a realistic thought of it happening. You don't have to tell me that you think it's going to happen because I think your picks are in lockstep with me, right? You took the Ravens over the Bills. You're taking the Packers over the Rams. You're taking the Bucs over the Saints. And you're taking the Chiefs over the Cleveland Browns, right? Correct, Amundo? That's where you're all going, mate?
4 for 4.
So the one upset we have there out of those picks, or the two upsets we have out of those picks on the spread, Ravens and the Bucs. Are the two upsets. Now, I don't know how you're making those picks for the other games on the spread. We'll do that later on in the show. But if you could just toss out everything we just said and the team that is an underdog that you personally want to see win, who would that team be? So you have the four options of either the Ravens, you could also take the Rams, you could also take the Browns, or you could take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What underdog? If you could just wave the magic wand and say, poof, you're in the AFC or NFC title game, who's the underdog that you're rolling with?
I would go with the Ravens for this reason.
Wow! They, I did not expect that.
Really?
Yeah.
You think I was going to say the Browns?
Yeah.
I apologize. I
As
love
Jim
Cleveland.
Rome would say, the Browns are America's team. Move over, Dallas Cowboys. I'm with Jim Rome. I'm with Ken Carmen. Cleveland Browns, America's team. You know why? Because everyone loves Rocky. Everyone loves the lovable loser that eventually turns into a winner. And how many years have the Cleveland Browns been that lovable loser, have been that underdog, have been that embarrassment. We look at the Browns and we say, huh, Cleveland, no shot. Guarantee 4 or 5 wins. Are they going to have the first pick or not in the draft? That's usually the question. And last year they teased us. Oh, all this talent. Oh, they didn't get the job done. Oh, clown show with Freddie Kitchens. And now, how about the Cleveland Browns? They have 12 wins on the year, 11 the regular season, and then they got their first playoff victory since 1995 and their first playoff appearance since the 2002 regular season as they smothered the Steelers last week. So I personally would go with the Browns there. But you explain to me your reasoning why you go with the Ravens. Is it just because of Lamar Jackson's storyline and how he gets a lot of unfair criticism the last 2 years, even with winning a league MVP? Because I could rock with the Lamar Jackson storyline if that's the case.
Not Lamar specifically, but more when I'm thinking of ahead next week when it's Lamar versus Patrick Mahomes, the last two MVPs to win the trophy.
Okay.
Lamar and the Ravens struggled against the Chiefs. I think they're 0-3, if not mistaken. Obviously, the Monday night game was a debacle for them. They are rolling. They would be beating the Bills. You would go in with so much momentum. I just want to see if they actually can push the Chiefs and make it a game.
It's actually funny that you bring up this year's matchup. I almost forgot that they played, but remember how one-sided that was. And that was really one of those games where people said, oh, okay, you're starting to jump off the bandwagon of the Ravens. Because the Ravens, I compare them to the Bucks, and I'm not talking about Tampa Bay, I'm talking about Milwaukee, where they had an MVP who did not play well in the postseason. So they were perceived a lot like the Bucks last year during the regular season. Giannis coming off one MVP, ended up winning another, but it didn't matter what they did until the playoffs. And really, for the Ravens, the only time they really had an opportunity to impress this year in the regular season were the games up against Pittsburgh, and they lost both of them. The second one didn't really count, though, because of COVID, as the Ravens had, what, 20 players on the COVID list for that game? And that's not an exaggeration. I think the number was actually 22 or 23, something like that. And then also that Chiefs game. But the first two games, Lamar and Mahomes, they were close games. One score, I think both of them, but they were both really close games. But I kind of look past the one this year because it seems as if it's so many years ago. And in reality, it's only a few months ago. But yeah, that would be fun. If you give me AFC Championship weekend, Nance, Romo, CBS, trip to the Super Bowl, trip to Tampa Bay, trip to Super Bowl 55, and you get to market it, Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens going up against the reigning Super Bowl champions, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that would be fun. Now, you wouldn't like it, though, if it was marketed as AFC North Divisional Showdown and the conference championship round. A few weeks ago, this game was played. It was the poop game. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Hopefully, Lamar Jackson doesn't get the runs this time, and he just runs all over the Cleveland Browns defense. It's Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, up against the Browns is the Browns, the Cleveland Browns of Baker Mayfield. Now, that doesn't have the same sizzle and pop as Ravens Chiefs, but it does have some sizzle and some pop.
Especially considering the last game we had was an instant classic. I mean, arguably about one of maybe the best game of the year.
One of the games of the year. Now, let me go the other way. Would you rather see Buffalo, Kansas City, or would you rather see Buffalo, Browns? Personally, I'd rather see, now Buffalo, Kansas City may be the better game, but we talked about this yesterday. Can you just imagine what Twitter would be like if you had Bills Mafia and Browns fans going at it with a shot at the Super Bowl on the line? Oh, you know how that game would end if the Bills played the Browns? How do you think that game would end? There's no way that game's a blowout. That would be sit on the edge of your couch, the edge of your seat cushion for the entire game, probably have to get into overtime, and there will be some disastrous ending for whoever loses. Like a double doink with Cody Parkey with the Bears. Or a team's driving. Let's say the Browns or the Bills, one of those teams, they're driving. They're about 5 yards out, and then the quarterback throws a pick six, or there's a fumble that gets taken for a touchdown. That game would have a miserable ending for whoever loses. It would not be, okay, we just got beat. Oh, okay, we were in the game, and unfortunately, it was just like a casual rushing touchdown that scores. If there is a rushing touchdown that wins the game, it's like a beast mode run. Beastquake, something ridiculous, some play that's unprecedented. So would you rather see Bills, Browns, or Bills, Chiefs?
Bills, Chiefs.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You want the better matchup.
Yeah, quarterbacks, you know, Josh Allen, a lot of hype. This is an up-and-coming guy. See him go against the best again. Yeah. Chance number two, try to beat Patrick Mahomes. I think it'll be fun. Can't go wrong either way, though. I'll say that.
It's tough to argue.
Can't go wrong either way. This entire next week would be a lot of fun.
All right, I saw a tweet today from a guy by the name of Cole Kublik, and it says, first time NFL head coach is hired directly from college since 2000. Matt Rhule, 5-11. I think Matt Rhule, his team is competitive in a lot of games. Lost McCaffrey, 5-11. You can't really judge Matt Rhule yet. Cliff Kingsbury, 13-18-1. Cliff Kingsbury, after what, the first seven games of the year, when his team was 5-2, very popular. Then they end out the year 8-8, and they couldn't beat John Wolford with the playoff spot on the line. Next year's a big year for Kingsbury. Bill O'Brien, now he had NFL experience. He went to the Texans, was 52-48, won a bunch of AFC South titles, got teams to playoffs a bunch of years. What he did the last year as the GM, though, that's what ultimately ruined him. Chip Kelly went from Oregon to the Eagles and also then had a year with the 49ers, which was just a dumb marriage on both parties. Chip Kelly did have two 10-win seasons first 2 years in Philadelphia, but he could not adapt. He could not talk to the players. He could not delegate. He was 26-21. Doug Marrone, from Syracuse to Buffalo, and then eventually went to Jacksonville, 15-17. And that was just taking the Buffalo years into account. I imagine that Chip Kelly just taking the Eagles years into account as well. Schiano from Rutgers. How many times was Schiano rumored to go to be the head coach of Miami? Like, all about the U, not the Dolphins. Schiano goes to the Bucks, 11-21. Harbaugh goes from Stanford, then ends up going to the 49ers, 44-19-1, went to three NFC championship games in the Super Bowl. Bobby Petrino, 3-10. Nick Saban, 15-17 with the Dolphins. Steve Spurrier, 12-20 with the now Washington football team. Butch Davis, college to the Browns, 24-35. He's actually the coach of the Browns last time they were in the playoffs in 2002. So we'll see how Urban Meyer does. Those numbers, though, not all that great since 2000. Josh Cribbs next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.